You know, spring. We like the whole idea of sun, but with it comes life. It's the end of a long winter. And some of you may be gardeners and some of you may not. But when I walk around my garden, I've got lots of deciduous plants. And suddenly you see these little sprigs of green appearing. And because I was home during the week, and I usually very rarely hit my home in daylight hours, I don't usually see what's going on. But I got to see what was happening. 2 days it took for a stick to have some little shoots and to be fully covered. I think if I stood there and watched it, I would have seen the process in front of my eyes. You know, we feel motivated in spring to get out under the sun's rays, to clean out stuff that's just been hanging around. It could be cobwebs, could be mold on your bedroom ceiling because your eaves have overflowed. It could be any number of things. You get up out of that comfortable chair that you've settled in over winter. No nudging there, Ronnie. And you get into some action. And our action, we're such fickle creatures, really is dependent a lot on the weather. So let's look at Friday, or even Thursday, which was sunnier. Very inspirational to be out and about. And then roll into yesterday's in the afternoon. Man, you just back inside again. And luckily the entire town was stuck in front of a television screen. I had the most hilarious situation at Mitre 10. The girl who was serving me, and she was the only one in the shop, everyone else had gone to the back. She had her mobile propped up on the counter and she literally swiped my things and took my money without looking at me. It was tad amazing, actually, and I thought, gosh, I could have, you know, popped them in a basket and walked out. She actually wouldn't have known. And she said, oh, I feel ill. I don't even know if I can carry on because there's 8 minutes to go and they're equal. And I thought, phew, I'm getting out of here, because if the team that she wants to win doesn't, she might actually have a meltdown on the floor and I don't want to mop up the mess. So I got my plants and zoomed off. There's actually a term called spring cleaning. And if you search it, it gives multiple definitions of what spring cleaning is. And it talks about it being a thorough, deep cleanse of your home or your shed or whatever it is. Today I want to talk about spring cleaning in a spiritual sense. And the good thing about this spring cleaning is it has eternal influence. Whereas the spring cleaning you do in your home is seasonal. Sure enough, by next spring, you wouldn't have known you'd even been there, because it all comes back again. So this morning, we're going to look at cleaning up a number or numerous areas of our lives and of our bodies under the rays of the sun, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, this morning as we come to sit and look at your word, I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. Lord, if there's things we need to sort, that we will. If there's words of encouragement we need to give to others, that we can do that. Lord, help us to be open and transparent before you. Help us to be obedient to what you call us to do. And Lord, give us insight now as we unpack your word in your precious name. Amen. I'm going to move over to the side a little because no one's here for a start. And also, I want you to going to skip through a number of passages in the Bible, and they're going to be screened. So that way, I'm not blocking your view. The first area I'd like to talk about cleaning up is our hearts. And I'm going to get the first verse put up, please. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. A clean heart. What's a clean heart? A heart that doesn't deviate from making God, Jesus, number one. A loyal spirit, being completely focused on him. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. We don't have to carry around that guilty conscience, because it's actually been washed clean. So we take whatever it is to him, and he cleans it up. And that's it. You don't need to be hanging on to the dirt. So our hearts. We can ask God to clean up our hearts, which involves our attitudes. We can go right into his presence, trusting him. He actually knows what's best. How about your mouth? I had my 6-monthly dental checkup the other day. I hadn't been to the dentist for years, and then I tripped over the curb outside Woolies and smashed my front teeth off. This was about, I don't know, a year or two ago now. So all of a sudden, I had this smashed face and I had to go to the dentist. And I crawled in there, first of all, feeling humiliated that I'd fallen. You know, sounds like an old nana. And secondly, I had to confess that I hadn't been to the dentist for a very long time. So now she's got me on 6-monthly watches. So she checks my mouth every 6 months. And one of the things she recommended was getting an electric toothbrush. Now, I thought, oh, what a load of twat. A handheld one is fine. It's, you know, easy, it's quick, etc. And then I thought, look, get with the modern age, I'll do what she suggested. It's amazing. It cleans your teeth way better than a handheld toothbrush does. It's incredible. It gives my teeth a deep clean. So when I went back this time, she said, "Phew, it's awesome. No worries. You're obviously using your electric toothbrush." And I could say, "Yes, I am." You know, we need to clean our mouths up when we spring clean. See, the spiritual cleaning is beyond the superficial, that's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. as your heart gets cleaned up, so does your mouth need to get cleaned up. And I'm not talking about having filthy language. I'm talking about things like negative talk. Negative talk that is just a natural thing to fall into. And negative talk pulls those around you down. It also speaks ill of yourself. God created you, and He loves you for who you are. And every time you talk negatively about yourself, you're actually talking negatively about God's workmanship. Pessimistic thoughts that go against the Word of God and our faith in Him. Got to clean them out. And if you don't, they keep multiplying. About complaining. You know, sometimes when we're tired, the easiest thing to do is to complain about something. And it might only be about the weather. But sometimes you will see people or meet people, and there's a colleague at work, and every time I see her, the first thing she says is, "Oh, what a horrible rainy day." Or, "Oh, I'm so tired." Or, "Oh, I feel so sad for this person," because every single time she greets and meets someone, it's a complaint or it's negative. So catch your words. Clean your mouth up. Spring clean it. Give it over to God and say, "Help me speak words that give life, that are encouraging, that are positive." Let's look at Luke 6, verse 45. "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart." See, those two things go hand in hand. Whatever's going on in your heart comes out of your mouth. And sometimes, and this sounds very crass, but sometimes if you've got lots of ugly stuff going on in your heart, it almost comes out like a big vomit. And it's not pleasant to be around. So, ask God to cleanse your heart and clean up your mouth. Let's have a look at Philippians 2, verse 14. "Do everything without complaining and arguing." Oh, I remember back to having teenage kids. Why? In everything has to be a complaint or an argument. Now, Penelope, you might be the exceptions down there, but you would ask a simple thing to be done. Like, "Could someone please bring in the wood for the fire?" "Well, my goodness, I did it yesterday." "Oh, you've had so many turns." And it goes on. Man, if your day was great, it's suddenly blah. Because there's complaining and arguing. How nice was it this morning? See, there was no youth on Friday, so there were no chairs put out. And I had a very bad moment of wake up at about 20, I don't know what time was it, Corey, that I texted you? It was like 10:30, something like that. All right, 9:30. And said, "Dang, I've just had a hideous thought. chairs aren't going to be set up. Now, I didn't ask Corey to come, but he came. He came with a smile on his dial, and we got the chairs out. And he didn't complain. He did suggest that I didn't do it properly, but that's okay. He said, it's okay, it's one Sunday. I won't do it again next week.
It wasn't a suggestion.
But see, the situation could be just the same, but you can do it without complaining or arguing. Next part of your body, clean out your mind. Take the garbage out. Feeding our minds on what is honourable and pleasing to God is the number one truth in keeping your mind clean. What do we feed our minds on? I'd like to share with you some latest research. In February this year, there was a 2018 Global Digital Report, which gives insight into what is happening across 230 countries. This is some of the findings they found specifically about Aussies. Aussies spend 5 hours and 34 minutes daily on the internet. Of that, 1 hour and 39 minutes was on social media, Facebook reigning supreme, Facebook Messenger being our app of choice. Google is our preferred search engine. Netflix is where we get entertained. Amazon and eBay is where we go to spend our money. That is a lot of time. How much time do we spend on things that build our minds up? You probably say, well, hey, I'm on the Bible app. That's what I'm doing. Good on you if you are. That's great. And I'd like to encourage some more of you to get back on. We had a lot on for the justice component, and now we're doing the mission one. There's only a few of us. If you haven't looked at that one, I would love you to jump on and fast track it. We've only got 2 days left on that one, but it's talking about what is your purpose? What are you here for? It's really valuable. But hey, look at the amount of time. And you can say, well, you know, Flo probably says, look, I'm not on Facebook at all. Are you on Facebook, Flo?
No.
No? So there you go. She's one in here, and there might be a few others. And you say, well, I don't spend 5 hours and 34 minutes. I've taken an average, because sadly some people are on there all day long. And they might be gaming, or they might be communicating, or whatever. But most of what you see on there doesn't actually produce honourable, pleasing to God thoughts. Most of it is just blah blah about people's lives, about all sorts of things. Last night, I was looking for a little clip to play about spring cleaning. Oh my goodness. There was so many of them, and they all went for at least 12 minutes, so we weren't going to watch it. On a clever way, you can cut your sponge so that you can hang it off your tap. And man, I was like, these people have got to get a life. I didn't bother going there. I was like, no, I'm not spending 5 hours looking this up. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and perfect. So you don't have to do the same as everyone else. You can actually lash out and be different. And you know, maybe you can be intentional about how many times you check your phone or you check your Facebook or whatever. You know, maybe you can do that. Maybe you can actually say, I'm going to put it away somewhere. Because for many people in our society, it becomes an addiction. And that is what people spend all their time doing. Corinthians 10, verse 5. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And this was Paul talking about the Christians that he was working with and encouraging the group there to work with people in showing them that you can actually capture your rebellious thoughts. And sometimes you'll find yourself doing things like, I really should put this down and, I don't know, get into the Word, or I really should. But then that child rebellion that's still in us from, you know, when we were about one and your mum said don't and you said yes I will, that rises back up. Take those thoughts captive, give them to God and be obedient to him. So we've got the old broom out and we've swept out our hearts and our mouths and our minds. Now we're going to our secret places. They're the places that nobody gets to see or know about. It might be that special cupboard where it's full of junk and you hope no visitor ever opens the door because it'll land on their head. I remember when everyone lived at home, we had a bucket and a little cane basket that lived next to the phone. And every little bit of who knows what that people didn't have a home for, they would put it into this basket. And once a year, I'd tip it out and find all sorts of things, you know, valve caps from bikes, an earplug from someone's swimming lessons, you know, just stuff. Now that wasn't a secret place, but it was a place that it actually looked fine from the outside. If you walked into my kitchen, there was a little cane basket and there was a nice blue tin with a pink rose painted on it. Was only when you had a look inside you saw what was really in there. What's in your secret place? Maybe you've got some sort of hidden sin that you just don't want anyone else to know about. You would die if someone else found out. Well, guess what? The King of Kings already knows. There are no secrets with him. You don't need to have your secret cupboard. Let's have a look at Psalm 32, verses 3 to 5. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Is the rest of that there? Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. See, living with secret stuff actually makes you sick. It literally does. It makes you feel crook in your gut. It messes with your head. It messes with your relationships with people. You start to slink along instead of stride along because you're living with the shame of something that you know is not right. When we spring clean, let's bring the stuff in our hidden place to God. He already knows about it, but confess it and give it to Him. And you'll feel a whole heap better. And while we're cleaning up stuff that is secret, what about your unforgiveness and your bitterness? Because that can weigh you down and clutter up your life. Let's look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. It weighs us down. It slows us. We get tangled up in this stuff that we don't need to be carting around with us. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behaviour. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. How much better would you feel if you gave it all to Him? Involve Jesus in your everyday life. Let the sun shine into every part. Your heart, your head, your mouth, and your secret places. Psalm 56, verse 13. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping, so now I can walk in your presence. O God, in your life-giving light. How do you feel when you've cleaned out your garden, your shed, your bedroom, your house, the office, your car, your block of land, your orchard, your horse shed? How do you feel? You feel elated. And you strut around and you look at it. It's great. I bet you did that, Rory, when you planted your plants the other day. Yeah, you do. You admire it and you feel so good. You have a great sense of joy. You know, when you clean out spiritually your heart, your mouth, your mind and your secret places, then you can declare, as the psalmist declared in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and shield. I trust Him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Psalm 126, verse 2 and 3. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. We can be a people who stand during spring. The winter is over. The slouching in the comfortable chair is finished. Get up. Clean up the house and feel the elation that comes with the joy of knowing that there's nothing in there that you haven't given over to God. And then you will walk with a spring in your step. And like these everlastings, when we clean ourselves out spiritually with God, it has an eternal influence, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. In that passage we read, the other nations said, see, God has done amazing things. How cool would it be if people in your home, in your workplace, in the community said, wow, look at what God's doing in Corey's life. They mightn't say it's God. They might say, what's happened to him? He's changed. Now that's part of our witness. So I encourage you, church, all of you, me included, let's spring clean. And then we can move into the end of spring and then into summer with a real zing in our step, a passion for God and for what he's calling us to do and to be. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today and we say thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement it gives us to get things right with you. And Lord, this morning, I pray that we will not procrastinate, but Lord, if there's stuff that we need to clean up, that we will take it to you. Lord, we say thank you for your patience. We thank you for the fact that you stand by, and even though you observe and know it all, you wait for us to turn and choose you. So this morning, Lord, we come and we ask your forgiveness. We ask your forgiveness for time wasted, for minds filled with stuff that is not God-honoring, for mouths that sometimes complain, for hearts that are sometimes not given with the best intent. And Lord, we say, forgive us, clean us up, clean us out, Lord, so that we can be people who are full of elation, of joy, and knowing that you forgive, you restore. So Father God, we give you thanks for your word this morning, in your precious name. Amen. That's as we head out for morning tea, if anyone would like prayer for anything.